Sunday, Dawn asked a question in her message about if she could see a raise of hands who could actually feel that there was an increase in these four eternal tanks. And I didn't raise my hand. I kept it down. I didn't really think anyone was taking notice of if my hand was up or not. But I was asked, how come I didn't put my hand up? And my response to that was, my tanks will be full on the 28th of August at 2 o'clock when Jess walks out of that airport. And I'm glad to say that my tanks are just increasing all the more. Yesterday, Mark Marquez, if anyone knows him, MotoGP, he won for the first time since 2021. I was ecstatic. Springboks won. So I am excited. I can't wait to share this message with you this morning. But on a more serious note, you know, I have really found for me personally, I'm sure we can all, you know, we all have our own story through this Fueled series, but two things have really stood out to me, for me personally, is that we can't get back our sleep, which I found very, very interesting. And then the second one for me that I've taken away over this time has been our physical bodies and how we need to listen more to what they are telling us. And, you know, it's a lifestyle that we can bring in an adjustment where we can see these levels just grow in these eternal tanks. So I'm grateful for this series, which I'm sure many of you sitting here today are too. So Luke chapter 10, verse 27 is our main passage of scripture in the Fueled series. And it says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. Just a side note quickly, if you have your workbooks here today and you want to follow and make notes, you can follow and make notes in page 10. In this picture we have that we've been using throughout the Fueled series over the last couple of weeks, you would have noticed that these four tanks, when we look at them up there on the stage, are actually, you know, apart from each other. It's been that way so that we can focus on each one each week. But the truth and reality, friends, inside of all of us, these four tanks are actually connected. It's almost like they are bolted together. And what takes place is that they actually infect and affect each other's ones, determining the levels of the different tanks. So you might be asking yourself, why am I saying that this morning? The reason why I'm mentioning that is because when our spiritual tank, which we are looking at this morning, our spiritual tank, once our spiritual tank levels start to rise, it starts to affect in a positive way all the other tanks. So how many of us here this morning enjoy watching cooking shows? You don't have to show a hand, any hands. In our place, 36 Marathon Road, one of the go-to cooking shows is MasterChef. And I can find myself at times being sucked in by Taz, Jess, and Casey because they love watching the show. And I find myself sitting down with them watching. And you know what I find quite interesting? We can see how good the dinners, or not the dinners, the dishes look. We can almost sit there and try imagine what they might taste like. But as soon as the judges start to taste those dishes, there's a disconnect. We can see their expressions. We can even hear what they are communicating and the feedback about the different dishes. But we can't experience the tastes that they are experiencing. And it is a little bit like that with our spiritual tank, which in essence represents our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So today, I will be sharing some hopefully helpful thoughts around this subject. But the real power of this topic that we can take away this morning is our personal relationship with Jesus. It's our connection with him as we walk out this wonderful life that he has called us to. Psalm 34 verse 8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." It is important for us, friends, to experience Psalm 34 verse 8 for ourselves. We can't live a life with Jesus off someone else's revelation or off someone else's idea. We have to be in connection, in relationship with him, tasting and seeing the goodness of Jesus and walking it out with him. You know, often we hear these wonderful testimonies and see these amazing things, but until we experience his goodness for ourselves, will we truly live for him? I want to remind us this morning of two scriptures, you know, that have come through over the last couple weeks. It's Psalm 23, verse 1 and 3, and then out of Matthew chapter 11. But Psalm 23 says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He let me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside still and quiet waters. He refreshes and restores my soul." I just love that. See, friends, when we're in relationship with him and in connection and we're walking out with him, there's a refreshing that takes place in our life as we walk this wonderful walk with him. "He leads me in the paths of righteousness." In Matthew, it says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavily burdened, and I will give you rest." Again, friends, I'm going to keep on going back to this connection and personal relationship with Jesus, because ultimately the onus is on us to pursue this wonderful relationship that we can have with him. And when we are pursuing Jesus and we're in connection with him and we are getting to know him, there's a refreshing of our souls through salvation and with salvation that comes through Jesus. Both of these scriptures, friends, are saying that that only by connecting to Jesus are we truly able to experience the source of spiritual energy that this eternal tank needs in our lives. And it's through connection with Jesus, it's through our relationship. In other words, it's encountering God on a daily basis through his Holy Spirit. The key passage of scripture today is from a teaching that Jesus gave on this subject. It's John 15, verse 5. And from this passage of scripture will be my three main points this morning. But what we're going to do, we're going to look at them at phrase by phrase by phrase, the three points, and unpack them and break them up. And just hopefully it leaves us going away, just, you know, coming into a deeper understanding the importance of this wonderful relationship and connection that Jesus is wanting to have with us. So it's John 15, verse 5, and this is what it says. "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So the first phrase this morning that we're going to look at from this passage of scripture is, "I am the vine, you are the branches." And you'll see there is going to be quite, when you have a look at this tree, you can see that it's quite well stable, it's solid. You can actually see that there is a lot of life in it because of the branches and the sticks just going off or in all different directions. You see that the trunk of that tree is solid, that it's rooted, and that it's just a tree that is just going to produce and attract life to it. And I think we can safely say, when we're looking at that tree trunk, is important to the little branches that are, you know, just going out in every different direction, like branching off. The tree trunk provides the nutrients and water, support and strength to the branches as they blow in the wind. And if you think about all the natural elements that they are going to have to face too, that vine is vitally important to the survival of those branches and what the tree is actually there to produce. The trunk of the vine is the main thing, friends. the branches are secondary. And what I mean by that is that all source of life comes from the vine. And the branches feed off and benefit from what the vine is producing and what the vine is anchored in. And in exactly the same way, Jesus is the main thing. Jesus uses the most beautiful picture from nature to illustrate the utmost importance of our connection to God. Jesus is the source of spiritual life. He gives the support and strength to us as we blow in the wind of our everyday life to life and stuff that we face. And in Him, we can find peace, we can find strength, we can be rooted or attached to the true vine, which is Jesus Christ. You know, throughout Scripture, Jesus is, you know, described in many different ways. The descriptions of Him come through, and it's absolutely beautiful. And I just want to share three with you this morning that I've always held close to my heart in the good times and the bad times, just holding on to this Jesus that we have been so wonderfully given. It's Acts 3, verse 15, where it says, Jesus is the author of life. Hebrews 2:10 says that He is the pioneer of our salvation. And then Hebrews 12:2, it talks about Jesus being the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. A question that we can all ask ourselves today: do we see Jesus like this in our relationship with Him? Do we see Him as the author of our life? Is He the one pioneering our faith? Are we growing in this wonderful salvation that we've been given through Him? Is He actually the vine, and are we His branch? Are we allowing His life to produce the life that Jesus has for us? Are we seeing this everlasting fruit that Jesus spoke about in John chapter 15? Or are we at the center of our own story and just asking for His help and blessings as we go along? And this is not a message of condemnation. It's really not, but it's one to, you know, make us think about this wonderful Jesus that we have, and that to bring us into this wonderful relationship that has so much to offer, not just to us, but as we grow in everything that God has for us, we're able to outwalk this. As we encounter God and we come into this wonderful relationship with Him, why wouldn't we want to bring someone else in? We have the opportunity to sit over coffees and just minister and to counsel people and bring them close into what we experience and what we see with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, apart from me, you can do nothing. That sounds quite harsh, but we've got to understand that we've been brought into a new life, and if He's the author of life, He's the author of our new life. And the only way to find out about this new life that He has for us is to be found in Him, so we can experience everything that He has for us. Think about cutting the branch away from the fruit tree. It's obvious what would happen to that branch. It would die. And the sad reality today, friends, in the world we live in, so many people, even believers, live severed or cut off from the true vine, which is Jesus Christ. Even believers today who say they walk with the Lord, there's a clear, because it's clearly says that we will produce fruit and much fruit and everlasting fruit. If we can clearly see that we're not producing the fruit that Jesus has called us to produce, we are not attached to the vine. And I'm speaking to myself this morning as well. Jesus brings us to this truth, and I'm going to repeat this. I am the vine, you are the branch. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. It's a promise from the Lord of the life that we can have when we remain in Him, that He has so much for us. I think there's times where we actually don't even realize what the Lord really has for us, because we're not even tapping into to the life-giving life that He has given us, because we are so distracted and disconnected by everything that's taking place around us and in the world. Do we see what Jesus is trying to communicate with us this morning? That we need to be connected to him. Why? Because when we're connected to him, we spiritually survive. And this is not about a life of trying to survive. No, we spiritually survive. And in that place, we start to spiritually thrive. And we thrive in him and everything that he has for us. We can have a full life of activities, friends. But if it is from a place of being disconnected from Jesus, that activity, regardless of how rewarding it may feel, how good it feels, or you know how desirable it feels, or whatever we might be running off after, if there's a disconnection from Jesus, it's not going to bear eternal fruit. It's not going to bear the fruit that Jesus talks about that's everlasting. Friends, it's always been about Jesus and our connection to him and his connection in us that he wants to get through us. When we connect it to Jesus, we will bear much fruit. There's just one rule, and I don't like to use that word rule, but I'm going to use it this morning. There's just one rule for the branch to bear fruit. What would that be? Stay connected to the trunk of the fruit tree. And friends, it is exactly the same for you and I. If we stay connected to Jesus and him to us, well, how does he stay connected to us? The words in the Bible are true. And it says, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. It's a promise from God. The more we press in and draw near to God, the more he is going to draw closer to us. And our tanks will be filled by him, and the result of that will be a fruitful life that impacts others. I know what you are thinking this morning, that you have got so much going on, and it's always about other people in the kingdom of God. What about me? See, this is the most amazing thing about the Lord. When we position ourselves in him, and we allow ourselves to start to receive what he can only impact in our lives, where there starts to be a heart change and we start to taste and see his goodness in our lives, where we're encountering him, friends. You know what happens? You can't but help one to share with other people what you are experiencing through God. It's a supernatural thing. You actually can't stop talking about the goodness of God in your own life to those around us, and you can't but help want people to experience God because of what he is doing in our own life. Do you know one day we'll stand before God and there won't be anything that we'll be able to say to him that we can't blame other people, because we have a direct relationship with Jesus Christ himself, that he is continuously speaking to us. And as he downloads the deep truths of who he is into our hearts, and we start to change, and we see his goodness, and we see his prosperity, and we see his way of life changing my way of life, we can't but help wanting to share it. Encounter God. And then from that place, we want to make disciples. We want to bring people into this wonderful, wonderful relationship that we have with Jesus. It's even if you don't want to, you're going to do it because of the goodness of God in your life. Yes, there's a saying, once you experience the goodness of God, that's when you start to live for him. Amen. And this is the kind of relationship, friends, that Jesus is inviting us into, to produce fruit and then impart it to a hungry world around us. So what does some of this fruit look like? Well, I'm glad you asked this morning. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is what the world is longing for and what causes so much strife in the world, because they're trying to find it in places that you can't find it except in the one who is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, faithfulness, gentleness. God is all those things. And when we are found in him, we start to experience and we start to receive the fruit of the Spirit. But so many people pierce themselves because they try to find all that kind of stuff out in the world. And you can only find it in Christ Jesus, in relationship with him, in your connection with him. We could save ourselves. And I'm talking to myself. We could save ourselves so many snot, tears, and trauma if we just continuously find ourselves in Jesus. How much of this fruit is visible in your life? And I'm going to be vulnerable this morning. This has been challenging for me over the years. But, and I say this confidently, but I have a lot more fruit today than I had 10 years ago. So if I continue to pursue this wonderful relationship and stay connected to Jesus and to the body of Christ and to people, and I make myself available for people to speak into me, and I'm at the different services and I'm encountering God and I'm involved in that process of making disciples and I'm being discipled, 10 years from now, the degrees of the fruit of the Spirit in me is going to have expanded. And I'm going to work. And then 20 years and 30 years. And that's how it works, friends. We've got to make ourselves available in relationship with God, with each other, to encounter Him, to make disciples, to see His name glorified in us and through us, and to impact a dying and sad world. Well, it's not sad. We're the light in the world. So we make it a joyful place. Stay connected to Jesus, growing in Jesus, learning from Jesus. And this is key for me, consistency and a focused mind. Stay focused and stay consistent in pursuing this relationship with Jesus. So what helps us stay connected to Him and keep the spiritual tank filled? So I'm going to share 8 ways to help us stay connected. I'm sure there's hundreds of different ways, but these 8 I wanted to share this morning. The first one is that we got to give our hearts to God. You know, God is the inheritance of God and the blessing of God is found in Christ Jesus. We have to be in Christ in order to receive His inheritance and His blessings. We can't walk in the promises and in the inheritance and the blessing of the Lord if we're not inside of Christ. So we have to be born again. We have to give our hearts to God. And the next one, and I know everyone is going to love this one, we have to obey God. Okay, well, you don't have to do anything, but it's a good way to remain spiritual, is to obey Him. Later in the same teaching about the vine and the branches, friends, Jesus says this in John 15, verse 10. He says, "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in His love." Jesus here is not talking about the Ten Commandments. He's not talking about that. He has kept His Father's command. We need to keep His command to remain in Him, to produce the fruit that He has produced, to be in relationship and union with Him. So it's not keeping the Ten Commandments. It's actually not even going away and saying, I've got to do A, B, C, D in order to be spiritual. No, it's relationship. Relationships can be messy at times. You think about our spouses and me. Gee whiz. Thank you, Lord, for Jess's grace and forgiveness. Thank you, Lord. But we learn. Honestly, we learn in the relationship every single day. You're gonna, you know, I've got something that I hold to dearly in my heart, that I will fall 1,000 times a day, but I have to get up and continue to walk with the Lord, because He is so worth it, and what He has done for me is so worth it, that if I fall 1,000 times, obviously it's not pretty and it's not nice, but the key is to continue to get up and to continue to seek Him out in relationship. And I don't go and deliberately try 4 every day, by the way. There were so many things that Jesus could have said, but the number one thing about our connection to Him was very interesting, was our obedience to Him. I find that extremely interesting. Spending time in the Word. See, friends, when we are spending time in the Word of God and we allow His Word in us to bring conviction, and we take those convictions and we apply faith to it, and we activate our faith through obedience, there's obeying Him, through obedience, being led by the Holy Spirit, His Word in us becomes alive. So the very things that we read that start to come alive in us, we start to see the fruit that Jesus talks about in John 15 start to manifest in our life, the everlasting fruits of love, peace, joy, kindness, etc., starts to manifest in our lives. Learn to put God first in your life. Matthew 6, verse 33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything the pagans run after will be added unto you. So what do I mean by that? In everything, put God. The way we think, the decisions we make, we must learn to put God first. Before we're just going to go away this weekend and miss a Sunday morning. No, let me put God first and let me be in that Sunday morning meeting. Let me go meet with the brethren. Let me go encounter God with them. Let me go and rub shoulders and have a coffee and disciple people. Let me put God first in my finances, in my marriage, in my parenting, in every aspect of our life. We should learn to put God first. And you will actually be learning to do that for the rest of your life. It's not just today you're going to do it. We're going to continuously have to learn to put God first every single day for the rest of our lives till we go be with him. It's an outworking. But the stronger we build this relationship and connection with him, the easier we find to do it. Our prayer life, time spent alone with God, is critical, friends. The time spent in prayer, the time spent in his word, in those moments we start to get to know who he is intimately, as well as we start to see who we are in Christ and what he's called us to. And Jesus modeled this for us so wonderfully. It says, Jesus often withdrew to lonely, quiet places and prayed in Luke chapter 5. All the most important relationships in our lives are going to require time. So often we don't want to put time into it, but we want to see the reward. Our relationship with Jesus is going to require time, but it's also going to require sacrifice. But friends, it is so worth it, and it is so valuable to us when we start to see what he has for us. Time with Jesus is of eternal value. It is in the place of connecting with God that we receive his affirmation, forgiveness, love, grace, correction, guidance, and encouragement. So many people today, and I'll be the first one to put my hand up, have found myself piercing myself because I'm waiting for someone else to come along and apologize to me or do something to position me in a place where I feel that I deserve that. But you know what? If we go spend that time alone with the Lord, he is the one who is affirmation. He is the one that's forgiveness. He is the one that's love, grace, correction, guidance, and encouragement. And in those quiet times and places where we meet him and we start to experience his forgiveness and his love and his joy, we don't necessarily need someone to come and apologize to us for something they've done, because that place in our hearts has been filled by the one true love, who is Jesus Christ. And God does this to us because he loves us and he cares about us. Why don't we stand as we start to close off this morning? And I just want to recap just a few as we close off. Give your hearts to God. Obey him. Spend time in his word. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Learn to put God first in your life. It's going to take a lifetime, but it is worth fighting that fight, putting God first. Our prayer life, time spent alone with God. Friends, in our connection with Jesus, we are able to truly find the source of spiritual energy that helps us fill this eternal tank. So I would love to pray with you this morning. I don't know, you want to share anything? Anyone?
I know you touched on it, that where Jesus says, I think Ryan mentioned that, but he says, as I've remained in my Father, so you remain in me, or as I've obeyed my Father and his commands, so obey mine, remain in me. And if you understand, Jesus didn't say, if you obey and remain in my Father, then you'll produce what you need to produce. He said, I'm obeying and remaining in my Father. Now you obey and remain in me, my words. Because the words of Jesus is not what the Father was bringing, even though they're one and the same. But he was saying, my command, so the Father's commands was what? to walk and obey the law for Jesus to accomplish everything he needed to do on the cross, to say it is finished. That wasn't our call. Our call is to obey the words of Jesus. And what did Jesus say his command was? He says, love one another. And again, at the end of that chapter, he says again, my command is this, love one another. Because the word love there is the word, it's agape. So it's, I lay my life down for you, love. If I love you, I'm not going to covet you. I'm not going to be jealous of you. I'm not going to slander you or gossip about you. I'm going to lay my life down for you, which is the most difficult thing. And outside of God, it's impossible. Matter of fact, he says, no greater love is a man to lay his life down for his friends. And you see that in the movies, you see someone does that and like, yes, that's the true hero. Because for the most part, we don't lay our lives down for our friends. Amen? Unless they're nice. Unless they do what we want them to be doing. And I want to encourage you. And I want to say this to you. That word, my father cuts off every branch that doesn't bear fruit. If you go look at that word cut in the Greek or the Aramaic, is to actually lift up. So that God doesn't, if you're not bearing fruit now, he cuts you off and he throws you away. So you lose your connection with the Father. God will never disconnect you. We disconnect ourselves. So he's saying, remain in me. So in other words, I am the vine, you are the branches. So he's already telling me I'm a branch. I'm already connected. He's saying, keep that connection strong. Amen? It's not like, flip, I'm now disconnected from Jesus altogether now. Now I've lost my salvation. I've lost everything, my inheritance. So I'm not bearing fruit. He's saying, the reason why you're not bearing fruit is because you're not loving the way I love. Amen? You're not holding to faith.
I'm just going to pray us.